Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Come fly with me, let's float down to Peru. In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you. Come fly with me, let's take off in the blue. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just fly starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so near. You may hear angels cheer, 'cause we're together.
Oh, yeah. Frankie Baby, Sinatra. He'll be around forever. His voice will. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. Seems like I've been around forever. And along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, he's been around for a while, too. We thank you for joining us. It is Friday, November the 10th. We have a lot going on. In a few minutes, Weifeng Zhang of the Mercatus Center at George Mason University, he's going to drop by, and we're going to talk about the planned meeting between President Biden and Chinese President Xi next Wednesday here in the U.S. Question, will China use the visit to extricate concessions from America? We're going to talk about that with Weifeng Zhang. And West Virginia's Joe Manchin announces he will not run again for senator, but will he run for president? And which candidate would it hurt the most if he does? We're going to talk about that, take a look at it. And the House Oversight Committee subpoenas Hunter Biden and his good old Uncle James. Question, are Republicans moving closer to an impeachment of Father Joe? We will talk about that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, you're going to like this one, Ed. The top 10 biggest binge drinking countries. Oh, yeah. We got to know that, don't we? Only here on Freedom Works do you learn these kinds of things. By the way, Freedom Works, sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Hey, guys, for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, I've never found a better place. It's located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. That's just north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive. Now, they're open Tuesday through Saturday. Call first for your appointment, and you'll get the best haircut at the best price. 727-733-3773. And we're also sponsored by Arbor Life Tree Service. If it has anything to do with a tree, anything, I'm telling you, Arbor Life is the place to call. I have used them, and I can speak from experience. You want to enhance your property with trees? You want to cut down trees? You want to stump grind, whatever it is, with a tree? Call Arbor Life for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. I want to also take a moment to credit Big Ed, because if it wasn't for him, for all the things he does to make this show work, it wouldn't be on. He is the best of the best. All right. So we got a lot going on. Let's start with Joe Manchin. I'm not surprised to see that he has decided not to run for his West Virginia Senate seat. Number one, he's not going to win again. He has managed to alienate a lot of Democrats for some of the stances that he has taken. He's not far left enough for them. So he announced yesterday he will not seek re-election. Question, is he going to run for president? I would say yes. He says this, after months of deliberation and long conversation with my family, you know, I never buy into that. After months of deliberation and long conversation with my family, let's be honest. I wonder if you were totally honest and you were going to run for president and you were going to drop out from what you're doing, If you, you'd say something like, look, I've had enough of the job I've been doing. I'm tired of it. I want to try something else.
You know, athlete,
man, I'd like to be president.
Athletes and coaches do the same thing when they, you know, decide to spend more time with their family. You know,
absolutely right.
It's very convenient,
isn't it?
Yeah.
They always blame the family. He says, I believe in my heart of hearts that I've accomplished what I set out to do for West Virginia. I've made one of the toughest decisions of my life and decided I'll not be running for re-election to the United States Senate. He did not go on to say, however, therefore, I'm going to run for president and see if my ass can get into the White. No, he wouldn't say anything like that. Of course he wouldn't.
Some mentioned that he might consider a third party.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
What about, Ed, what about his just staying in the Democratic Party? There's only a couple of others, and nobody even knows who they are that are running for the Democratic Party. There's that woman that always runs. I can't even think of her name. You know, that strange woman.
You know, both of our parties have problems. They really do.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Well, you know he's running. Because he says he's going to go around the country now and seek a middle-of-the-road consensus. What does that mean?
I think that splits the vote, though.
Yeah, I do, actually.
Some people just are Biden supporters, you know, if they feel sorry for the guy. And then some are going to be Manchin supporters. And I don't think he gets enough.
Manchin is a moderate. How many moderates are left in the Democratic Party? You can count them on one hand, right? He's actually more of a Republican in his thinking. He's a Blue Dog Democrat. He's one of the last of the Blue Dog Democrats.
But he's got to get on it. We got less than a year.
Yeah. So it's exactly a year from now that we're going to have the election. He announces. You think there's something a little bit coincidental about that?
Could be.
Ranked by one nonprofit as the most bipartisan member of the Senate, Manchin's centrism and often tense relationship with his own party, fueling speculation, he's considering running as an independent. There you go. As well as a third-party candidate. He attended this No Labels event over the summer in New Hampshire. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And that caused a lot of his fellow Democrats to worry about whether or not he might bolt. I think he will.
There were a lot of issues he did. Instead of doing the Democratic thing, he did the right thing. Not meaning the on the right side.
No,
what he thought was the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
We probably need more of that.
Do you think he'll be, let's say Trump becomes the Republican, do you think if Manchin runs against Biden and do you think he will hurt Biden more or Trump more?
I think Biden. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I think it splits the party because not a whole lot of people know of him, really. He's not the one that's always in the news. I mean, there's been some times he's been there.
You and I know him, most people don't know who he is.
Because we talk about him.
That's right.
But it's not like the dip toe out there in California, you know, where Newsom's kind of getting a name for himself out there.
Right.
But, other than us talking about him, a lot of Americans really don't
know. We got a lot of question marks going. We still have a year to go.
Yeah.
Will Newsom run? Mm. Will Manchin run?
You said they better get on.
What about that guy in Virginia, the governor? They've been talking about him running, the Republican. Will he step in?
Mm-hmm.
Who'll drop out of the Republican race right now? You know,
does that mean Joe Biden's going to be a lame duck? What happens to Kamala Harris?
Yeah, well, Kamala's going to be his camp. Oh. You mean he's not going to run, is what you mean? Well, I don't think he will.
You don't think Joe will run?
No, I don't think it. And the only reason I say that, I don't think he can make it to the finish. I don't think he can make it till then. Look at him. Have you watched him recently?
I know.
He's getting worse. He's getting noticeable. He's worse now than he was 2 months ago.
And now he wants to meet with Ping from China. Ping. Great.
Hey, by the way, that reminded me, we're going to talk about that. Let's take our break now. Yeah. And when we come back, we're going to talk about that. We've got our buddy Weifeng Zhang joining us from the Mercatus Center. And we will talk with Weifeng about the planned meeting next Wednesday now of President Biden and China's President Xi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back. It's Friday. Hey, by the way, tomorrow is Veterans Day. Everybody got to remember that. Let's honor our veterans. We always need to remember our veterans. Never, never forget the things that they have done to make our country free. We are delighted to have back an old friend, Weifeng Zhang. He's a senior research fellow at the Great Mercatus Center at George Mason University, and we're going to talk about the meeting between President Joe Biden and Chinese President Xi. And by the way, they've just announced that it's going to be this coming Wednesday, November the 15th, and I guess in San Francisco. Weifeng, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Well, thank you for having me back, Paul.
I can't think of anybody I would rather talk to than you when it comes to things that have to do with the relationship between the United States and China. And there is, maybe in the history of our country, no more of a, what would you say, fragile and dangerous time than right now when it comes to our two countries. So apparently they're going to get together, is it in San Francisco, next Wednesday? So Weifeng, what's on the docket? What are they going to be talking about, and what should they be talking about?
I think you point out, Paul, a very important fact, which is that despite all these crises going on in the world right now, China remains the number one foreign policy challenge to the United States. And but because of that, right, because the relationship between the two countries has been so cold now, ever since 1978, I think, when China reopened the door to the global economy. I think now it's probably at the lowest point for all these over these past few decades. And we shouldn't really expect anything concrete to come out of this summit, because the two leaders, they do not have really much in common in terms of how they see the bilateral relationship. But I think it's important that they are talking. Maintaining communication is important to avoid any conflicts that the countries do not want to engage in, because, you know, if there's any active conflict between the two countries, or even when it comes to Taiwan, it will be very costly to the United States. So I think having maintaining the communication is important, but I don't think there's much for the two countries to work on, really, at this point.
Yeah, you know, it seems like China has been almost ignoring us to some extent. We've had several of our politicians show up there. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, our Secretary of State was over there not long ago, but it didn't seem like we got the royal red carpet treatment. Now, Joe Biden is certainly going to give the red carpet treatment, I would think, to President Xi. But you make a point, and I think it's very well taken, that the Chinese are known for using spotlights like this to seek additional concessions from the U.S. I think you make a good point. Do you think that's what's going to happen this time?
Well, it has happened pretty much every time China engages in the diplomatic, engaging diplomatic engagement with other countries. Because the starting point China always wants to take is to ask for the most and then see how desperate the other side is in giving in, right? So holding up and even not deciding whether President Xi is even going to travel to San Francisco is this type of tactic that they always use because they wanted to see how desperate the United States is in wanting him to come, right? And toward the end, because there's not much that would come up anyway, and then they would just give in and say, we're open to talks and the Chinese president is going to travel to San Francisco. That's always the case, and I think it's very important for policymakers in Washington to remind themselves that, you should not give in to the Chinese from the get-go because they always start by asking them for the most at the very beginning.
Indeed. We're talking with Weifeng Song. He is a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center over at George Mason University. He really knows what's going on when it comes to the Eastern political situation, and boy, is it's been boiling most recently. Weifeng, it seems like the United States, like it or not, we are being perceived as weak on the global stage. Look what's going on with the situation in Iran, as an example, and some of the attacks that the Iranians are doing. When it comes to the United States and our military and our rather, I would think, tepid response. Certainly China sees that. There's this concern that we have that China is looking to see whether or not they should be able to maybe take a gander at grabbing Taiwan. That's always in the news. Do you think that Biden is going to say anything at all to Xi about Taiwan?
It's hard to say. President Biden is surely unlikely to say anything on Taiwan strongly in public. In the past, President Biden has said several times that we would defend Taiwan or something along those lines, only to have his staffers come out to correct him like the day after. And I don't think anything in public is going to be coming out very strongly. I do hope, though, that the president would convey to the Chinese that our resolve in defending Taiwan or supporting Taiwan in the case of a Chinese invasion, because China is definitely watching and taking notes on any clues of weakness on our side. You mentioned, Paul, Iran. That's a very important, interesting example because they are behind Hamas, which is the center of the global crisis now in the Middle East, and apparently the United States is thinking about asking China for help in at least brokering some sort of a ceasefire or at least preventing Iran from getting into the active conflict with Israel. But if you're asking for the Chinese for help in this kind of crisis, you are definitely going to let them perceive that you're weak. And so I think that's not a very wise move, in my view.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, we've got we're concerned about Russia. The alliance with Russia and China is becoming more and more apparent. You're mentioning this a possible alliance between Iran and China. It seems like we're being, what's the word? Some of the chess pieces are coming off the board. Some of our chess pieces are coming off the board. When it comes to this game, and we're becoming, I don't know, not vulnerable. I think we still are considered the greatest military power. But as an example, the number of ships that we're building now, and apparently China's got more ships than we do. They are certainly, you know, continuing to make, you know, to make a move, and yet you look at the Chinese economy and you go, well, look at their situation and you tell me if I'm wrong. It seems like their economic situation is rather perilous right now.
That's absolutely right, Paul. But I mean, the U.S. economy is not doing fantastically either, right? It's better than the Chinese economy, but that's a very important point, because economic resources at home are a very important constraint on how much you can get involved in foreign affairs or even wars in this context, right? And so, with so many fronts of conflict now happening, it really brings to home the point that we need to think about priorities and trade-offs, because we don't have unlimited cash, and we need to think through what our highest priority, and in this case, is countering China. And so I think it's important, it's a good thing that the bilateral meeting is happening on Wednesday. It's a reminder that we need to keep our focus on the long run. On the long run, the important thing is to counter China. So I'm not saying to not support Ukraine or not support Israel, but it's important to, for example, when it comes to whether to ask the Chinese to help with the situation in Israel or Iran, I don't think that's a good idea, because it suggests that we are losing the focus or losing the resolve in countering China in the long run.
Is there anything that we can get out of this thing from a personal standpoint? Obviously, we do not want to make things even colder than they are. Right, let's be honest. Biden, you know, everybody sees that Biden is, his cognitive abilities are not what they used to be. The United States must worry that we are being perceived as maybe not as capable as we should be right now. And if somebody was going to do something on the world stage that would offend the United States, they might want to do it before next November, if you know what I mean. So with all of that going on, do you think we, do you think that we need to do or say something with Xi to make him realize that, you know, hey, we're still in pretty good shape here?
I think it's important for the U.S. president to project, whoever that person is, to project power and strength when it comes to engaging with the Chinese. The Chinese economy, as you mentioned, Paul, already, is not doing well. And having the Chinese leader visit the United States is a good opportunity to show him that, you know, if you continue down this path of not anti-market policies in China, the economy is going to go down further, and the Chinese will have fewer and fewer resources to tackle whatever challenges they have. So I think it's always a good idea to show our strength whenever Chinese leaders visit the United States. But when it comes to election, there's nothing much we can do. You know, the voters are going to decide who our next leader will be a year from now, and but it's also, I also want to point out that when it gets closer to the election, sometimes foreign powers would try to wait and see what happens too. So it's not necessarily that they would try to make a bold move just because they want to rush it in before the end of this current administration.
Understood. My colleague Ed Davis may have a question for you.
Actually, Weifang, I was just going to say, if they're going to hold that thing in San Francisco, I hope they find a secure location. Because, you know, those band of looters, it would be a shameful if they happen to break in the middle of their meeting there and start looting the place.
No, that wouldn't look
good. Of course,
good.
Biden would play it off as MAGA actors or something like that.
Yeah, we better have it in a secure place where enclosed.
Well, it did appear that they have not announced the location of the meeting. And well, I mean, to me, it's really a sign of weakness on both sides. I mean, the Chinese leaders are always afraid of or not wanting to see protesters outside of wherever they go to take meetings. It's interesting that the U.S. doesn't want to see that either, you know, because to me, the strength would mean that you won't be afraid to face even people protesting against you. But at least that the Biden administration is open enough to keep it very secret and secure and not seeing any protesters. And that's not a particularly optimistic sign either.
Right. Well, we can tell you for sure that if this meeting was being held in China, you wouldn't be seeing any protesters out there. China would not have it, you know. Well, I think it's always an absolute pleasure and a good learning experience for us whenever we have you on. Thank you so very much, and I'm looking, obviously, forward to our next time that we talk.
Same here. Thank you, Paul, for having me.
Always our pleasure. Weifang's on. All right. Let's take our break. We got a lot still going on. The House Oversight Committee. It subpoenas Hunter Biden, Uncle James, some other people. Question, are Republicans moving closer to an impeachment of Daddy Joe?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Thank God it's Friday, right? Lots going on. A lot of it bad. But here's something, I don't know if it's bad or good, but the human species has topped 8 billion people. 8 billion people. With longer lifespans offsetting fewer births, but world population growth continues on. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, the Bureau estimates that the global population exceeded 8 billion on September the 26th. I wonder if that's exactly right or not, and how do they know, right? A precise date, the agency said, to take with a grain of salt. The United Nations estimated the number was passed about 10 months earlier, saying that the 8 billion number popped up on November 22nd of last year. So anyway, there you go.
You know, with the way Florida's growing, I kind of think that might be true.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, they talk about, you know, we're just talking, of course, with Weifang Zhang, China has been limiting the number of people in their country in terms of birth. And in fact, India is now the number one country population-wise. Did you know that?
Yeah.
India.
Mm.
All right. So an alleged campaign finance violation could ensnare Secretary of State Antony Blinken and 51 former senior intelligence officials who asserted back in 2020 without any evidence that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation. Remember when they were talking about that? Biden himself brought it up in the debate with Donald Trump. He said, and 51, you remember that? He said, 51 experts have said that there was no laptop situation.
I remember when you couldn't write about that on Facebook or they'd kick you off.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
That's right. And in fact, they did. They started censoring information on some of these platforms. America First Legal, it's a conservative organization run by Stephen Miller. Now, Stephen Miller was a former Trump White House aide. They filed a complaint with the Federal Election Commission alleging a coordinated communication and an unreported in-kind contribution to the Biden presidential campaign and related entities, which violates federal law. The evidence suggests that the respondents failed to disclose coordinated expenditures constituting in-kind donations with respect to the infamous Letter of 51. Again, the letter by these former intelligence officials saying the Hunter Biden laptop story had all the classic earmarks of Russian disinformation. And we know now that, indeed, there was a laptop. So we'll see where that all goes. In the meantime, the House Oversight Committee has subpoenaed Hunter Biden, James Biden, and their business associate, Rob Walker, for testimony before the House Committee as part of its investigation into the Biden family business dealings. I can't wait for that. Now, the question is, are they going to really show? Will these subpoenas have any, what is the word? You know, meet two of them. The committee also requested transcribed interviews from James Biden's wife, Sarah, President Biden's daughter-in-law, Hallie, who is the widow of Beau Biden, by the way. I think she ran around with Hunter after Beau died, if you remember that. Yeah, she was involved with Hunter. So this, you know, this gets rather interesting and rather complicated. Financial records the committee subpoenaed earlier this year revealed that members of the Biden family, including Haley and Sarah Biden, received more than $1 million, that's with an M, $1 million in payments from accounts related to Sarah Walker. I'm sorry, to Rob Walker. Rob Walker, who was a business associate of Hunter and James. And those records revealed that Hallie Biden received a payment from Walker's account for $25,000. Why are all these family members getting all this money, right?
Yeah.
So this is the big deal. So whether or not they're going to honor the subpoena, I think they can put teeth into it if they decide they don't want to come. They can actually, they can, what's the word when you don't show up for a subpoena? They can,
contempt of court.
Hold you in contempt of court. In contempt.
Well, at least they're spreading the wealth around, I guess, in the family, you know?
Yes, they are.
You got grandkids that can't even ride a tricycle yet. They're millionaires.
They are. Yep. And here's the rather interesting thing. Rob Walker worked on a joint venture called Sinohawk Holdings, which was meant to be a partnership with Chinese energy firm CEFC. So, by the way, guess who's also going to show for this? It's Tony Bobulinski. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's going to sing like a canary. He wants to sing like a canary. He's got the goods. He's got the goods. Mm-hmm. He was there. He was a business partner, Hunter Biden. So they're moving, I think, they're moving closer and closer and closer to a possible impeachment of Joe Biden. So they go on to say in this announcement, the House Oversight Committee has followed the money and built a record of evidence revealing how Joe Biden was involved and benefited from his family's influence peddling schemes. Now the committee is going to bring in members of the Biden family and their associates to question them on this record of evidence. this, by the way, is James Comer. He's the chairman of the House Oversight Committee. He's kind of like an attack dog. Have you seen him?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's out to get him, I think.
This whole thing with the Bidens, a lot of this stuff happened while Joe was still vice president, right?
Oh, yeah.
So
sure.
I don't know if I can say this the right way, but was the family starting to look out for life after politics, figuring once his run as vice president was done that he'd be out of politics?
Yeah, I think...
Not expecting to be president of the United States.
Correct. I think that's exactly right. And they figured that while all this was going on when he was vice president, right, you know, after this was over and Barack and he had served 8 years, they'd be collecting on these deals that they had set up beforehand.
Right.
But Hunter looked at the fact that his dad gets to become president. He goes, my God, I got a lot more I can get out of this. You know, by then, of course, all these LLC corporations, whatever you call them, had been set up, right? So here Hunter gets on the plane with Dad going all around the world, mm-hmm, right? And stopping off and going and, you know, shaking down people while Daddy is standing in front of a teleprompter, you know, mm-hmm, in some country somewhere. I mean, you know, make hay while the sun shines, as far as Hunter was concerned.
And they figured they'd been getting away with it for so long that... That's the thing with some criminals. Don't
That's
know
another
when to,
thing.
They don't know when to stop, you know?
And once, right, exactly. And the thing is, you become, what's the word? You become less, you don't keep your eyes less vigilant. Yeah, yeah, less vigilant.
You're not aware of the things
you're
that are going
vigilant.
On around you.
The longer you get involved in this, the more you take for granted that you're going to be able to get away with it.
You kind of get blinders on.
Put blinders on, you're less vigilant, and you start doing things you shouldn't be doing. Yeah. Like that shakedown of that Chinese, whoever it was, that they catch on a text with Hunter, and I got Dad right next to me here. When are we going to get paid? Mm. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah. Crazy. Hey, did you notice something, you know, with this ongoing trial in New York City for Donald Trump? Have you noticed that the Attorney General for New York, Letitia James, has been no-showing?
Oh, yeah?
You know, remember we were, I think, talking about the fact she'd be showing up all the time?
Yeah.
New York Attorney General Letitia James was a no-show Thursday, that's yesterday, as Trump's civil trial continued. She had been facing criticism for making at least 5 appearances at the courthouse in New York City where the case has been unfolding. In other words, what the hell are you doing? Don't you have something else you're supposed to be doing here?
We made the comment, you know, how many other cases did she actually show up for?
None.
Now, if she's kind of just falling back, because if this thing doesn't go her way, you know that when the final verdict comes down on it, if it doesn't go her way, she'll be nowhere to be found.
Oh, yeah, she'll be hiding.
Nowhere to be found.
Mm-hmm. By the way, the defense is expected to start its case, present its case this Monday. So I guess the first part of this case is all prosecution, of course. And, again, this whole thing hinges on whether or not Trump was overvaluing and stating that, you know, his property was worth more than it really was. This thing, I don't think it's going to go anywhere. Even if they do indeed find him guilty here of a civil, a civil whatever, this is going to be tossed.
Yeah.
This will be tossed. I mean, we'll see about it, but I don't think this is going. Everybody knows Letitia James was out to get Trump.
Yeah.
She got elected on that promise.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. All right. Let's take our final break, and when we come back, we got a lot more to talk about, but we're going to tell you what are the top 10 biggest binge drinking countries.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back for the final segment of Freedom Works on a Friday, and we thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, Freedom Works comes to you Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the terrific Tantalk Radio Network, and we hope you can listen to us whenever you can listen to us live, but I know you got things to do, so thanks to Big Ed, all our shows can be listened to at your leisure. Ed puts all our shows on podcast. All you've got to do is go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. That's O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. There's a podcast link at the top. Click on it. It will open up all our shows. Ed's got the top, most recent show at the top. You'll see who the guest is on each of the shows. You'll see the topic. You'll see the top 10. What more could you ask for? It's OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, just saw this on the wire. The number three House Republican leader is wading into that New York trial of Donald Trump, that civil trial, accusing the judge of exhibiting bias and bizarre behavior in the courtroom. Have you heard about this one, Ed?
Well, I've never seen a judge smirk, smile, and pose for a defendant before. Yeah. I've never... They're always, like, looking at their papers or give them a scowl look or, you know, I've never seen Judge Judy do anything like that.
Right. He has acted bizarre. Doesn't he have some pictures of himself flexing his muscles or something online?
Well, he grinned from ear to ear looking right at the Donald there when he sat down.
Yeah. So Stefanik says this. I write today to express my serious concern about the inappropriate bias and judicial intemperance shown by Judge Arthur Engoron in New York's lawsuit against Trump. This judge and his bizarre behavior have no place in our judicial system, where Judge Engoron is not honoring the defendant's rights to due process and a fair trial. He goes on to say, these serious concerns are exacerbated by the fact that the defendant is the leading candidate for president of the United States, and it appears the judicial system is being politicized to affect the outcome of the campaign. So there you go. In other words, sit back and shut up, Judge.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Hey, something disturbing happened in the area yesterday. I just wanted to say something about with our local law enforcement, the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department.
Okay.
We're acting on a warrant, or actually they were called on a domestic problem. There's that new special unit where they come out and try to talk, and they're still deputies, but they're trained in kind of talking to somebody with psychological problems. And I guess a 19 or 20-year-old who's had multiple problems and run-ins with the law. I was surprised that they showed the video here locally on our local stations, but this guy got this, I don't say kid, he's 20 years old, and he knew the police were out front. He got in his car and drove around the block, and at full speed came right at the officers that were standing next to their car.
Oh, no.
And they actually showed the impact and basically severed the deputy's leg on both of them, and it's pretty horrific. But to see, I've never seen something like that locally. I mean,
they don't show those things normally.
But I guess they felt that the impact of what actually happened, you had to see, because usually they freeze it right before it happens. But to see that, I mean, that was very disturbing to see somebody.
What was the outcome of it?
Well, the outcome is the guy gets out of the car and went after the officers that were on the ground, you know, bleeding their guts out.
Yeah.
They had to tase him and put him in the ambulance. He's laughing and joking when he's going in the...
He's lucky he wasn't killed.
Yeah.
He's lucky he wasn't shot.
He's got actually 3 counts of attempted murder on law enforcement.
Oh, that's horrible.
It was just disturbing to see us.
Very disturbing. Wow. This is something that, well, I guess I'm not surprised, but this is how ridiculous things have become. The Department of Health and Human Services has a new gender pronoun policy that may violate employee rights and could result in firings for misgendering somebody. You could be fired for misgendering.
Wow.
Yeah. The email, which went out to the employees, states, quote, "All employees should be addressed by the names and pronouns they use to describe themselves."
What happened to my...
What if you don't know what he uses to describe, or her?
What happened to the good old days when you called them by their name?
I know. The policy comes as part of the department's push for, quote, "gender identity and non-discrimination guidance," unquote. That it says protects employee rights and protections related to gender identity. The U.S. Office of Personnel Management guidance states the following. All applicants and employees should be addressed by the names and pronouns they use to describe themselves. Using correct names and pronouns helps foster workplaces free of discrimination and harassment. This practice also creates an inclusive work environment, whether all applicants and employees are treated with dignity. The isolated and inadvertent use of an incorrect name or pronoun will generally not constitute unlawful harassment. But, as the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission has explained, continued intentional use of an incorrect name or pronoun, or both, could contribute to an unlawful, hostile work environment. So you remember that next time you show up at some sort of government agency. You gotta know ahead of time what they like. If I come in tomorrow and I feel like, you know, dressing up like a woman, I want you to respect me.
I'm just gonna snap my fingers.
This, what a world we've gotten.
You know, you remember,
just what a world.
You remember when kids were not, well, even babies, and then young.
Yeah, I remember everything.
You know, but sometimes you the way the parents might dress, or the boy might have long blonde hair, and you think it's a girl, and you say, "Well, cute little girl."
Yeah, right.
And then the mother goes, "Oh no, it's a boy." You know, you didn't hear this. Did you just call my son a girl? I'm taking you to court.
Exactly. All right. Before we get to our top 10, my beloved Blackhawks beat at Tampa the Lightning. I can't believe it.
And your beloved Bears won last night, too.
They did? I didn't even know they played.
16-13. They were on Thursday Night Football against...
Why didn't you tell me? I didn't even see
the
Panthers.
You didn't miss much, believe me.
Oh, I guess not. Yeah. Is Carolina not that good?
Well, Carolina's 1-7 now. So actually,
all right.
1-8. I'm sorry.
So there's a team worse than the Bears?
Yes, that'd be the Panthers.
Oh, my goodness.
The thing is, right now, the Bears, well, it doesn't matter what happens. The Bears have the second and third pick, number 2 and number 3 in this year's draft.
Wow. Well, you see, when you're that bad, you get those things. It's like the Blackhawks. You know, they've got this Connor Bedard,
who, by
the way, was great.
Yeah.
This guy is something.
Yeah. The next savior?
He might be.
Yeah.
So we need all help we can get in Chicago, I'll tell you that. Okay, Ed, you're going to love it, Ed. This is from the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the top 10 biggest binge-drinking countries. Now, how the hell have they... How can they figure that one out? Researchers define binge-drinking as having at least 6 drinks in a single session. Is that... Is that what?
Okay.
Is that all?
Yeah.
You only need to drink six?
Six?
Oh, my goodness.
Depends on what kind of drink. Is it a shot or is it a beer?
Yes.
You know, there's a big difference.
I guess so. It says here nearly one in five adults.
Mm-hmm.
That's 19% of all adults reported heavy episodic drinking at least once a month.
Mm.
That's a lot.
Mm.
One in five. And that's on average across 29 countries. This was as of 2019. Okay, so here we go. Top 10 biggest binge drinking countries. Number 10. It's us.
Yeah?
Yeah, the United States. Well, these days I don't blame people for binge drinking here in the United States. The way things are going. Okay, number 9. Iceland. You'll note it's always countries like up north that seem to drink a lot.
Mm.
Have you noticed that before? Yeah.
Keep warm.
I think that's part of it.
Yeah.
Number 8. Oh, my goodness. My ancestral home, Ireland.
Ah, that was my horse right there.
I know. Good old Ireland.
Yeah.
You always know that Ireland's going to be in a group like this.
Anytime anything happens, they'll do a shot to it.
They will. They'll drink to it. Number 7. Now, this one kind of surprised me, but maybe not. I don't know. Australia?
Okay. Well, yeah.
They're Australia. Drinking. They're drinking down under, is what we say. Number 6. I would never have thought of this one. Belgium.
Mm.
Why?
Wow.
That's my question. Why is Belgium a big binge drinking country? Because everything around them is going haywire?
Could be.
Number 5. Germany.
That was my other horse there.
Okay. Well, they're big beer drinkers, but I never thought they were
luscious. Means that means they drink a lot of beer.
An awful lot.
Well, Oktoberfest is Germany.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Number 3. Hey, this is another one. They're all kind of together here in this European little area. Luxembourg.
Mm.
Yeah, Luxembourg. By the way, 35% of Luxembourgians, whatever you call a citizen of Luxembourg, 35% of them say that they binge drink at least once a month.
No.
35%.
Oh.
There's something going on. Number 3. The United Kingdom. Yeah. Another 30. Well, actually, this is a tie between Luxembourg and the United Kingdom. Both of them 35% binge drinking.
Mm.
Okay. Number 2. Romania. Now, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're anywhere close to Russia.
Yeah.
36%. All right. Ed, what do you think is the number one country, the biggest binge drinking country?
My top two are gone.
Okay, well, that's all right. You don't need to. Do you want to try one?
I can't think of one now.
I think it should be Russia, but Russia doesn't have doesn't ascribe to this. They did not report their drinking, so it's Denmark.
I was thinking France, maybe.
No, France and Italy, believe it or not, are not. They don't have an alcohol problem, believe it or not. But Denmark, 37% binge drinking at least once a month in Denmark.
Mm.
Wow. Well, it is cold up there.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks so very much for listening to us. We certainly appreciate it. We will be back Monday. Have a great weekend. Remember, it's Veterans Day tomorrow. And also remember, freedom works.
And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM.